As you heard at the beginning of Mass, Pope Francis is inviting Catholics across the world to deepen their appreciation and love and faithful witness to God and His Word. He has established the third Sunday in Ordinary Time this year, today, for the Church to observe as a special day devoted to the celebration, study, and dissemination of the Word of God. The occasion offers us an opportunity to renew our commitment and understanding of the inexhaustible richness that comes from God's constant dialogue with His people. He wants us to be living instruments of the transmission of the Word. So on this third Sunday in Ordinary Time, liturgically we are in Cycle A readings. So we begin reading mostly from the Gospel of Matthew. And today we are offering each family a copy of a commentary on the Gospel of Matthew published by Collegeville Press. Please take one per family home with you, and you can use it to check up on my accuracy. Matthew gives us so many familiar and critical passages that it might be difficult to imagine the church without the influence of this gospel. In fact, this gospel is the only one to even use the word church. Even more, the version of the Our Father that we pray daily and at Mass comes from Matthew. The Sermon on the Mount with the eight Beatitudes is in Matthew. Jesus' promise to build the church on the rock that is Peter is also in Matthew. And Matthew used the Gospel of Mark as his source. He seems to have reproduced nearly his entire gospel, about some 600 of the 661 verses by the count of most scholars. Because we find all of Mark in Matthew, Matthew became the favored gospel between the two. So why read Mark's shorter version when the longer one essentially included Mark and much more? So today, the kingdom of heaven is in motion. You may have heard this mantra when talking to a real estate agent about home values. Location, location, location. In a nutshell, it means homes can vary widely in value due to their location. And location is essential when it comes to the story of the call of these first disciples. Jesus is on the move, changing his location from his hometown of Nazareth to the area around the Sea of Galilee. And Matthew gives us the rationale for Jesus's to change his location. He withdrew to Galilee to live in Capernaum upon learning that John the Baptist had been arrested. A good time to get out of town. And it's as though Jesus might have had a house there in Capernaum. Well, this seems to be a story of a young man striking out on his own after leaving the small town he called home. Matthew tells us that this fulfilled the scripture. Mark says no such thing. Matthew elaborates on Mark's calling of the two sets of brothers. So as we continue to read from Matthew this liturgical year until Advent, we will pay close attention to some unique elements of his theological insight. Well, Jesus begins his ministry by venturing to the land around the Sea of Galilee, where he finds these two sets of fishermen. Jesus calls the four men, and immediately they drop their nets, leave their occupations, walk away from their families, and follow him. I can only imagine the kind of magnetic personality that Jesus had to have for those men to do that. And they actually did just that. And they followed him and became his first disciples. How did that happen? Well, if you've ever tried to pry a man loose from his TV remote and lounger, much less convince him to exchange careers midstream, then you know how remarkable this was. Jesus modeled the discipline and sacrifice that he called forth from others. Before he called Peter, Andrew, James, and John to leave their home and occupation, Jesus did the same thing. He leaves the comfort and income and safety of Joseph's carpenter shop and his mother for the uncertain path of God's calling in his life. And the first step into that uncertainty was a step away from the familiar surroundings of home. Imagine how difficult this step must have been for Jesus, just as it is for any of us. I have moved 9 times in my 47 years as a priest. And every parish assignment has energized me greatly. All have been amazing adventures in sharing and preaching the word with God's people. How about you? What's it been like for you in your changes of location? What was this future God called Jesus to embrace anyway? Just how much did Jesus know and understand about his role as Messiah, the dangers and demands of his ministry, and the eventual torture and death on a Roman cross? Well, we don't know for sure, but we do know that whatever his understanding at the time, it took a huge leap of faith to step away from that carpenter's shop. Now, in fulfillment of the prophet Isaiah, Matthew makes an important point. Jesus begins his adult ministry by stepping from the pool of a more purely Jewish region. He moves into the mixed pool of humanity, represented by the towns around the Sea of Galilee, the world of the Gentiles. Jesus had come to announce the good news for all of humanity. And what better way to begin than to change locations from his home base? Sometimes the only way to gain a fresh perspective on life is to change the surroundings, to adjust one's point of view, to agitate the comfortable inertia into the possibility of a new future. The call of Jesus was the outside force that acted on the inertia of these first disciples' lives, and they would never be the same because of it. It's not enough to be willing to leave a settled way of life. Jesus also called the disciples, as he calls us, to take up a new way. This call is to follow him. It contained no magical power, for the Gospels tell of others who heard this exact same call from Jesus. Some turned it down flatly. Others tried to negotiate on his terms. But no, these fishermen were not put in a trance or under a spell by Jesus. He simply called them to change their plans, to exchange all they knew for a journey without maps, to follow him toward a horizon that offered both sacrifice and joy. And in that step toward his call, those simple fishermen stepped into the forefront of the most sweeping change in human history. No one who makes a difference in life can do so from the comfort and safety of the status quo. There must be some leap of faith, some daring to take risks, some progress to happen. As they say in baseball, you can't steal second base while keeping your foot on first. And so these men followed Jesus. And with that step, they entered into a lifetime of motion. Following involves action, daring, and movement. It's not a sedentary life. Follow me, Jesus said. So here's the question. What more can I do to drop everything and respond to God's call when I hear it?